Ephesians 4:29 will be our focus today. And I just want to take you through a brief, more of an application of this than anything. Let no corrupting speech or talk come out of your mouths. Plurals. This is church stuff, church community stuff. All of your mouths. We would say in the South, all y'all's mouth. Only such as is good for edification or building up. It fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. Gossip. The word sounds guilty, doesn't it? Gossip. Slander. The word sounds slick and slithery, doesn't it? I like words that kind of almost define themselves by how they sound. When you say those words, you should probably emphasize the S so that you hear the hiss of the serpent. Gossip. Slander. For the serpent is behind it. Our nation is awash in it. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet with some precious sisters in Christ in this church, and we're trying to help another sister in Christ and just trying to make sure we're rowing in the same direction, and they were so gracious to me and let me seize the opportunity to basically use them as guinea pigs for this short, brief exposition. Just to remind us, as I reminded them, gossip is sneaky. This is how it operates. It slips up. It camouflages itself. And I'm not accusing anyone in this church of gossiping. I think our church has been given grace over the years to confess it, repent of it, recognize it, be restored, keep it cast out of our midst. But we can't let our guard down, especially in this culture, in this time. That's why I wanted to take this opportunity to speak, not so much pointedly to all of everything going on in the society, but just to say, are you paying attention to how people are using their words, including our president? I'm very thankful for how God's used him in many ways to stand for things that were right, but I'm just telling you, I wish he'd be quiet most of the time. I wish all of them would get down on their knees and pray more and tweet less. We have to guard our hearts, church. When we get involved in one another's lives, we start sharing our struggles and we get down below a surface level. And if we're not careful, we can even inadvertently allow gossip or slander to kind of slither into our relationships. I know I've been guilty in the past. We have to keep our guard up. This sin, as Lori has reminded me, and she means in her own life it too, it's just the hardest one to kind of admit to sometimes. Because I don't think any born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ wakes up in the morning, you know, morning after morning after morning consistently with malicious intent to, you know what I'm going to do for the next 3 months? I'm just going to gossip. I'm just going to slander. It's just not for a born-again believer how it works. So it sneaks in, doesn't it? And it's hard to sometimes confess and admit, but confess and admit we must. The Bible talks about this sin. In the Old Testament, slander, according to some of my sources, is condemned more often quantitatively in the Old Testament than any other sin. Well, that's astounding, isn't it? It must be important. God must know that we have a problem with this. Hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible. Ephesians 4:29 is one of them. And so as pastors here, we've encouraged you for years to build true accountable relationships, good for your soul. Sanctification is a family community project. But we've probably not done the best job of helping you learn how to communicate in more godly ways inside those relationships. And so your small groups, what we call gospel life groups, are good places to build fellowship and to dive deeper into the sermon, which is what we use them for, and just enjoy one another's company. But what we hope will happen naturally, or I should say supernaturally, as the Spirit works in His people, is that you'll in those small groups of 12 to 15, you'll build a really tight circle of friends of one or two that you begin to really do raw real accountable life with. Oh, that the Lord would do that among us, build that culture here. I think we all recognize how important and powerful our words are. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You hear the second part of that? Death and life, those are your options with your tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So there are two kinds of fruit you can eat, death or life, depending on how you use your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, don't we, church, want to eat the fruit of life? Oh, that's a much tastier fruit, isn't it? I don't want death. I don't want to eat rotten bananas, do you? I want what I had yesterday, that fresh, juicy peach that just, you bite into it and it squirts in your eyes, and if people are around, it gets on them. Make sure people are not close to you in COVID-19 time. If you're eating a big, juicy peach, it just goes everywhere. It was so delicious, so good. Life, right? This reminds you of, boy, the good gifts of God, life. So tasty, so good. Everlasting life in Christ. I want my words to reflect that I've been born again and that I have everlasting life with Christ. And I want to eat rotten bananas and death. I want to speak words of life, words of health, words of peace. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A healing tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it crushes the spirit." I've been guilty times in the past of using words to crush the spirit of someone. There are a few things that I have mourned more, lamented more, and repented of more deeply than knowing that my words crushed someone's spirit. I want a healing tongue. Amen. I want the Holy Spirit to give us healing tongues, tree of life tongues. Ephesians 4, Paul puts it like this: "Let no corrupting talk." Gossip and slander are corrupting talk. Webster's 1828 says, "Gossip, a gossip, is one who runs from house to house, tattling and telling news or seeking news to talk much or idle talk." Scholar Gordon Ketty says slander is, quote, "every statement that is made with the purpose of belittling someone or besmirching his or her reputation, and encompasses everything from out and out lies to veiled innuendos, and even includes true statements when these are told only to hurt the person about whom they are made." I like how he gets to the heart right there, the motive. You can gossip even if you're telling the truth. If your motive is to hurt. These things are programmed into us by our over-psychologized culture. We masquerade our gossip and our slander with terms like this: healthy venting, transparency, buzzword, right? The church has bought in that we got to be transparent. Well, that means you can see through me. It means I got no substance. I'm not sure I want to be transparent. I want to have some substance to me, some God-given, ethical, moral, Christ-exalting backbone. I got to just express my emotions, express my feelings. Got to get that off your chest. I'm seeking understanding. All these things may be okay, but I'm warning you. Gossip and slander are sneaky, and they camouflage themselves in these kind of psychiatric terms and labels. We've allowed this to affect our own relationships in the church. We feel like we're compelled, because we love one another, to listen as someone vents. There's got to be a line there somewhere where the venting becomes sinful and we call one another out on it. I want to give you four questions today, and then we'll move into our members' meeting. Based off Ephesians 4:29, four questions to ask ourselves to help us use wonderful words of life. Number one, do my words corrupt? Or do they even have the potential or the appearance of corruption? The Greek word for corrupt means rotten or useless, harmful, unprofitable, unfit. Rotten. Rotten bananas. Rotten banana words. Good for nothing. It's the very opposite, it seems to me, of edifying, building up words. Can you imagine how social media would change if we just asked that one question and then obeyed the Holy Spirit as we honestly answered that question? 98% of the posts would probably have to be taken down. Now, I'm not sure if that's true in the church, but I'm afraid it would be a high percentage even among Christians the way we use social media. Is this corrupting talk? Question number two, do my words build up? Do they edify? The Greek word there literally means what you think, edification. It refers to an actual structure, a building. You have to build a building. You build it up. Our words must commend and build and strengthen faith in Christ in one another. Right, church? Isn't that how we want to use our words? That my words would actually encourage, inspire, build up, strengthen faith in Christ among His people. And would be used of the Holy Spirit to convict those who are not in Christ. That maybe they should consider Christ and give their sin up and come to Him. Edifying words. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, edification. Question number three. By now you get my, you see where I'm headed, right? You could ask the next question. Do my words fit the occasion? The phrase here in the Greek refers to meeting an actual need. Are they needed? Are they necessary to help someone, to meet an actual need, the need to build faith, strengthen faith in Christ among His people? Remember, this verse is in the context of whole church stuff. The whole church growing together as a body. All parts of the body being healthy and growing up in Christ as our head. So question number four then. Do my words give grace? Do they reflect a grace towards Christ and the members of His body, the church? The way I like to think of this question is, will my words, spoken, written, or maybe even thought, we learned to battle in the mind or the heart. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the war is always first in our minds, our wills. So do these words that I'm thinking or want to speak or write, do they actually cause the hearer to delight in Christ and His bride, the church? That's giving grace to those who hear. Well, God, give us grace, church, to speak wonderful words of life to one another and about one another. We'd be better off if we talked more to one another than about one another. But oh, that God would make us the kind of church, the kind of people that if we do talk about one another, it's edifying. It's full of grace. It's meeting actual needs to strengthen faith, that it's not corrupting. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us. We want to honor You with our words. We want to reflect You by speaking wonderful words of life to our culture, yes, culture of death, but also within Your church body to one another. So help us, Lord Jesus, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, as You apply even this one verse of Your holy word to our hearts and lives. Help us stop covering up the sins of gossip and slander in our own lives, and start asking Jesus to clean it up. Help us, God, stop covering up and come to You to be cleaned up. Do it for the sake of Your name and Your fame that You have entrusted to Your people, this ministry of restoration, this ministry of good news. May our words represent You and Your gospel well. In Jesus' name, amen.